Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. It's me, myself, Tony McAlevey. I'm a special co-host, Mickey McQueen. Cool.
That is the most American kitchen behind you.
Yeah, it's very standard, isn't it?
Big blender, big coffee machine.
It's got the thing in the sink too, do you know, where like you can turn it on, it goes, you can.
Don't put your hand sink. There. Don't even. The composter,
For anyone that hasn't copped, I've landed. I'm in LA at the minute. I'm at pretty much Venice Beach, which is insane. It's cool.
Oh, is that where you are?
I'm fucking stone's throw from it. Yeah, that's where I decided we stayed.
Unreal.
Far more me. So it's actually a far nicer part because we've been in and out of LA, and LA's traffic and how busy the actual city. We're still in the city. We're just out on the outskirts of it because Venice Beach is more relaxed, but everything's like not that bad here. It's not that busy. Whereas I've only heard, do you know what? I came out here and I was like, oh, I'm not looking forward to it, but all I had heard is bad things about LA, about the homeless and traffic. And see the Venice Beach area. It's absolutely beautiful. It's pure bliss. It's quiet. Even we done the Walk of Fame yesterday, the stars.
Yeah.
And that's middle of July in LA, and it was like it wasn't quiet, but it wasn't busy. Like it was just like lovely. It was. I think whenever you go with low expectations, you enjoy it far more.
Yeah. No, LA. I think is it Malibu or Santa Barbara at the minute? It's Bob of the homeless.
In general, wherever the big
pier is, I know it's pretty bad at the minute.
Santa Monica.
So I know it's. But it's the thing that always got me well, eh, was once you had to go onto the 405 to come off it again, was just a fucking nightmare, the traffic. But that's every big city in the world now.
That's a trade-off.
Yeah, that's a trade-off. It's like when you were talking about going up the, you went up the sign, was it yesterday? You went up the Hollywood sign?
Yep.
The first time I'd done the Hollywood sign, no joke, it was like walking into Croke Park in a football final. You were just fucking wall-to-wall with people. And then the last time I did it, there was maybe, I probably met 200 people on the way up and down, if even. But the first time the first time I went, it was literally, I must have just timed it wrong. There must have been loads of tours. But it's a tight old walk, like in the heat, if depending on what time of day you do it. Like.
I typed in where was the shortest and the best view, the shortest walk, best view. We could drop right at Vista Viewpoint, which for anybody that goes is well worth a drop. And it was only like a 15-minute walk from there, so it was sweet. But just a cool atmosphere. I didn't think I'd like LA, and you know what? I actually really, really enjoy it.
It feeds into your energy a lot, but because everybody, a lot of people in LA are people that are, they're pushing. You know, they're pushing for more. They're pushing for better. It's not a place you go without a plan or a dream. Even though at the same time people take the piss out of people in LA, like everybody wants to be an actor, but there's a reason why people that want to be an actor move to LA, because that's kind of where you have to go or want to be if you want to really give it a good shot.
Yeah, do you know what it is? It's the reason I actually quite liked it is because I'm not a massive fan of like landlocked things. So like, don't get me wrong, I think Texas would be awesome, but I would need to be near a lake or something, or if I was going somewhere. Like, I really enjoyed capitals like Barcelona. I enjoyed like Port of Venice more. It's not that I'm always on the beach, but I like to have like a beach culture, you know, where it's a wee bit more relaxed. Whereas like New York, yes, there's beaches around the area, but it's more of a big city vibe. Whereas I quite like the more relaxed way you get with it, whereas you get like a bit of a Cali vibe, like it's whenever you're near Venice Beach, because the boardwalks are there, the cafes are there. It's just more, for me, that's what it's more about. Whereas sometimes I feel a little bit small or a little bit more pressure in a city. As you said, there's more going on. Like, Joe, in Dublin, it's quite intense. Same with like Belfast. Then you have to go outside for the more relaxed vibe. I find that whenever there's a beach, people just mellow more. So for me, it's definitely been good. I've enjoyed it.
There's definitely major cities that, like, the big business cities, the big financial cities, people are more intense and they're not as normally as happy as the more cities that are creative and by the sea. Where you think like New York, Washington, they're more intense. I'm thinking of Brussels, like it's a big
London,
big business places. Whereas you place like LA, Miami, even though they're two coastal places, it's a bit more fun. It's a bit looser. People are, they're not you know, they're not as they're not.
You've been to Miami?
Yeah, yeah, I've been to Miami.
That's where, yeah, we're going. We're here till Monday. We're here. We've done a week here. I wouldn't mind doing more. We have 2.5 weeks in Hawaii.
Class.
Maybe 3, I think. And then we're going to Mexico. That's the flight out of the States. And then we're looking at maybe going back into Florida, into Miami, or going more Central America. So any recommendations from people, please fire through.
I would definitely say you should, even though you said about the landlock, you should definitely check out Tennessee, Texas, South Carolina. It's even like Nashville's a great, fucking Nashville's a great city. Texas is good. I think you'd like Austin. I think
you've heard good things.
I think you'd like Austin, and then you have places like in South Carolina. You have places like Charlotte. There's just so much, and there's just so many.
The one thing,
so many different places like Atlanta, Georgia. There's just so many cool places where they're not really the holiday spots, but they're real America with real people doing real things. It's just I always find it quite cool down there. And then if you're around it, New Orleans is a fucking spectacle that you'll never fully recover from. It's brilliant.
I've heard really good things about Austin. Do you know what I really enjoy? I really enjoy the fact that, like, I just feel like Americans, don't get me wrong, I know a lot of people give them stick, but I find that, like, they've got really good energy compared to, like, everything is, yeah, man. Like, if they're getting a drink, damn right, I'll have a beer. Do you know? And people be like, oh, that's funny. But I actually really enjoy the fact that, like, they're enthusiastic. Like, they're there to live. Like, they're there to live life. They're not there to fucking tick the box.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is true. Just when you said, like, they're enthusiastic about everything. I've always said it as well. American hospitality workers are the best in the world. They're the best in the world. They make you feel welcome. You know, barman, waiters, waitresses. Tips, isn't it? Because it's because of the tips, but it's also because they have this kind of, as you said, this energy where you could go into work and you could be boring and you could hate the job, but that's not going to help you in the long run. So they make the most of it, and I just think that they do have a good outlook, the same as the Aussies. Always said it as well, the Aussies have a great outlook in life. I don't know if that correlates with weather and stuff. I always have this thing, people are always happier in the summer. They're happier in Ireland in the summer. They're more anxious in the rain. Like, I was up in Belfast earlier getting my hair cut, and people were just miserable. Just miserable because it's absolutely lashing all day. But I don't know, I've always liked America. LA is cool. I was in it a few, when was it, 10 weeks ago now, but not for too long. You should go to the Comedy Store if you can.
We have been.
Oh, you've been? Oh, it's class. Like, it's fucking,
we got
class.
Unbelievable. We got Tom, what do you call him? Tom, he's like fucking one of the biggest comedians in the world. Tom fucking
Segura?
Shit. Yeah, he was a special guest. He showed up.
He's class.
He's fucking, I didn't know who he was.
Oh, he's huge podcaster.
Yeah, well, Cheever's like, holy fuck, because we were supposed to get somebody else, and then there was like Comedy Store, and you know, they always have special guests. He was trying out new material, but like,
yeah,
I didn't know who he was, and I was like, holy fuck, you have 2.6 million on Instagram. You're actually massive.
Yeah, he probably have more, only fucking, he's got a thing where he's got a running row with Garth Brooks, is it?
Is it?
He made up a rumor joking about in a podcast once that Garth Brooks is probably a serial killer because people always go missing when he's on tour, and it took off and it just can't be stopped now. And people joke about it, but Garth Brooks really doesn't like it. If anybody doesn't know who Tom Segura is, Google Tom Segura basketball and you'll see one of the worst injuries in your life that you'll ever imagine.
I've heard that Cheever shit as well.
It's disaster. But he's very funny. Anybody listens to Rogan will know who he is because he's one of Joe Rogan's best mates.
Podcast wise, if we frame this, like, I think a good topic to sort of dive into is, I do feel like one of the reasons that people end up not content or not happy is because when they go somewhere or they do something, their expectations are too high. I feel like this is a real sort of overlap. It's the same with, like, LA. Like, I said to Stephen on the way out, he goes, this will go exceptionally well for me because all I've heard is bad things, so I've got such low expectations of enjoying it, and I've loved it. And whenever you come out with that, like, anything is better. You know, I didn't expect the food to be as good, I didn't expect the weather to be as good, the people. You're almost looking for positives, whereas, see, whenever you go out and you're like, I'm expecting the food to be great, I'm expecting this to go great, I think that's what happens with a lot of holidays. I think people don't realize it. and when they're on holidays, they've overhyped it.
Yeah.
And then they're expecting so much in the week. Or even whenever you go away and you go on a date, that people are expecting so much. Whereas when you go into like a date with low expectations, you usually enjoy it more. It's usually more relaxed. You know, it just sort of, I feel like you expect less, you get more. And I feel like we're a society where you do that. Like, I'm guilty of that as well. And I think it is easy to fall into that fucking trap, like, but it's one of the ones where it would make a fucking massive difference to your mindset if you go into things just thinking, right, well, anything's an improvement.
Yeah, well, it's the open mindset, isn't it? If you're open, if you go in on a holiday or in a relationship or even in the business with a closed mindset and a fixed mindset, you know, you're not willing to maybe explore something that's new. You know, going, oh, that's not me, or, you know, if you go on holidays, is it like an open mindset, and you're not expecting anything from it? You've heard mixed reviews, you heard bad reviews, you heard good reviews, but you go in with an open mindset and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to make the most of this, and it turns out you really, really like it. Or because you've tried new experiences, you've did stuff you probably wouldn't have done. You've probably done the cheesy tourist shit that everybody tells you, don't do the cheesy tourist stuff, don't do this, don't do that. And then when you do them, you're like, oh, that was actually quite cool. And you can say, you know what, I did that. I've done the Hollywood Walk. Or I went down to Malibu, or, you know, I went to the Hollywood sign. You know, a lot of people say, oh, don't bother that cheesy shit. Don't bother this, don't bother that. But if you go with an open mindset, you go, you know what, I'm just going to tick that fucking box. I'm going to get it out of the way. And you go, that was actually quite cool. I think too many people go because, the way the internet is now, you see these places so much that you almost in your head go, fuck, I was there. But you were like, no, I wasn't. I just see it every day. You know, I know everything about it. I actually know this, I know that, I know this. I know where it could be dropped off, I know this. But you're kind of spoiled now because you see it so much, and you don't really, you're numbed it when you see it in person, unless you're open to the experience. Because I found that with New York. When I first time I went to Times Square, I was like, oh yeah, I recognize this place. Never been before in my life.
No, I completely agree. I think you have to take in your notes. Like, for example, like, I worked yesterday 7 to 3, I think, and people were writing to me going, you're the life. And I was like, yeah, I fucking do. I was like, I've worked a full shift. And then what I enjoy is the fact, like, if I get up super early and do my own hours, like 7 to 2 is, what is that, like 7 hours work. So that's a full shift. And then the rest of your day, I just find whenever I'm away, I'll actually put to use. Whereas at home, if I worked 7 to 2, I'd get ready, go to the gym, and then by the time gym's done, I'm like, I'll just relax and watch a bit of television. You do more in that sense. So for me, it's one of them ones where, like, I think whenever you're like that, I always be like, right, well, I'm grateful that I am putting this to use, or I'm grateful that I'm here. Like, even whenever I'm not, like, I wasn't traveling as much. Like, just being like, whenever you're in, like, for example, if I'm ever in Kilbroney down or Strava, of my ones on a Sunday, I'm like, I always turn around and go, isn't this unreal? Like, we're all here. The dogs are here. Everybody's good. The sun, it's not raining.
Yeah.
Like, almost taking in each little thing. Whereas a lot of people will be like, and I've noticed this, where they're like, oh, the coffee van's closed. But I'm like, that's the one negative of where you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, the coffee van's closed. Do you know what? Fuck it. We'll go here on the way back because that's nicer coffee anyway. We'll take a bit of a detour and a nice drive. So I do feel like you have to look for that. And I do feel like if you ever listen to Mo Gaddett, you'll always hear me say it, like, you need 9 positives for the 1 negative. You're crippled by the amount of negativity in society. The news is that. So to flip your script, you need 9 positives. So I always look for 9. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so easy once you get in the flow of it. Like, I feel good. Joe, it's not raining. My family's healthy, right, walking the dogs. I could be living in a big rushy city. And then you flip the script in your head. You're always just, because then it changes your energy. See, if you're, I do believe that, like, I know people are saying, oh, he loves the word energy now, but, like, you carry an energy around with you, like, and you can feel it. That's why you want to be around certain people and other people you want to avoid, like, the plague.
Yeah, well, it's some, everybody has a mantra. They probably just don't realize they have one. And you know, energy is your one at the moment, because it suits where you are, where you're going, what you're doing. And it's also the same as when you said to your family, how good is this, we're all together. Sometimes the things need to be said out loud. You know, it's just like kind of out loud journaling. Because when you say something out loud, like, how good is, for instance, I love a pint of Guinness, right? See, when you take a good, and it's a lovely pint, and you say to your friend, fuck, how good's that? And then they're like, ah, that's class. And you can feel the energy kind of lift a wee bit. That you're like, you're actually accelerating, even though it's something stupidly minor. Any fellas that listen to this podcast, you'll know where I'm coming from. Like, cares not so much because you probably think we're mad idiots. But it's like getting a nice sip of a cocktail and go, oh, taste that. And you're excited to get your mate to taste it. And then they're excited to taste it. And it's just like getting nice food and everybody's like, oh, you need to taste good a bit energy, of this. Yeah. It's good energy and it's good everything. Because, you know, life in general is probably, if you're working hard and you're pushing, life in general does suck a wee bit of your energy out, and you do have to work hard to keep your energy up. We always say about sometimes, like, even if you love going to the gym, there's sometimes you just cannot be arsed. You just can't be arsed.
And, well, nobody can.
But the, like, energy is, like, if you can try, like, surround yourself with the right people, or unsurround yourself with the wrong people is probably more important. Like, energy is, there's a lot to be said for it, like, and I get tired from gigging and stuff, and I feel my energy slumping, so I have to do certain things to get my energy back up again, like go to the gym, like try to be as active, try to cut down on all forms of fucking TV and Netflix and stuff, because I find that they're an energy drain, even though I would hide it under the guise of resting and recuperating, but then at the end I don't feel rested at all. I feel more rested by doing stuff that gives me a wee bit of an energy or a wee bit of, like, joy. Whereas you could lie on the sofa and go, oh, I'm just resting up. And really, you're getting nothing from, well, I get nothing from it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm the exact same. It actually drains me a little bit. I'm better going to sleep. Like, it's like when we came in last night after doing, we had a really good day yesterday. I worked and then we went to the Hollywood sign, done the Walk of Fame. And then we went to Craig's, which is like some like celebrity place that people eat. Because we wanted to see anyone, and it was just good to see the food. Food was all right, but pretty much came back, and it was only like 9 o'clock, and I was like, "Oh, we'll just like mellow out." But I was like, "There's no point in me mellowing out. I'll just go to sleep, and then get up early and attack the day with better energy." Whereas you go, "I'll just mellow out." You watch Netflix; it actually zaps your energy. You're not getting replenished, and then Joe, all that adds up.
Yeah, you mightn't get it because you're very aware of it. Do you ever get the time where you go on a holiday and by the time you get to the holiday you're almost like you're fucked altogether, like you're burnt out, and you're really peeling yourself to do stuff on the holiday, and then you know that you worked that hard and you pushed that hard and you probably doubled down so you could take a couple of days off, that when you get them few days that you're almost using the holiday to recover from work. By the time you come home, you need another holiday. You need the real holiday then. No,
I agree.
That's a thing that I would have been real bad at years ago, like really bad at, and I noticed then that the first couple of days of the holiday were just shite, and shite for whoever I was with, because I was just like absolutely drained. Whereas now I've got that more of a balanced approach, whereas, you know, I don't take the hot, you know, it's almost like you have to work doubly hard. You, in my old mindset, you had to work double hard to take a week off, because, you know, you couldn't take a week off because no days off and all that dung. But now it's more like if I'm taking a holiday, I'm taking a fucking holiday, and that's just it. No, don't bother me. If shit hits the fan, I'll step in, I'll step up, but just try not to bother me for these next 7 days. And
no, I think that's
if the world stops turning because I disappear for 7 days, we're doing something badly wrong. No, something bad. We're not doing our jobs right the other 51 weeks of the year. Badly.
No, I think that's bang on. I do think energy management is one of these things that people don't reflect on enough. And
yeah,
like, you need to realize that you're giving your energy to your work, you're giving it here, but it's all about, I think I went through this before. I've done this with a lot of people I do business with. Gareth Fox, very good for it.
Yeah.
Kieran O'Neill is very good for it. Mindset coaching is very good for it. So there's two types of tasks. There's EDs and ERs. There's energy draining and energy replenishment. And if you just do energy draining tasks, you know, you're working, you're cooking dinner, you're gymming, you're never fueling yourself up. Like, you need to give yourself rituals, routines, habits that give you energy replenishment. So for me, cup of coffee is one, like people will know that. Going out to a cafe and sitting for 20 minutes having a cup of coffee will be that. So having a meal away from the computer outside will replenish me. Things like, for example, like I know Gareth, for example, will eat orange things, like oranges, because it always just reminds him of getting energy.
Wait, is that there a thing, or is it just his thing? Eating
just
orange
his thing, don't yeah, just like his you thing. Create the ritual for yourself, like it sort of cues him. So a really good example is like, whatever I have a ritual for the gym now is I try and stay away from coffee near the gym, and I use caffeine and coffee for work and content creation and stuff like that. And then when I want to train, I have an energy drink now, still the same caffeine,
yeah,
but different tastes, different smells. And it's almost like using something. That's why, if you use lavender at night,
yeah,
it's to put you to sleep. You don't use lavender to pump yourself up for a working set or to get into flow for work. You'll use certain smells, certain light,
triggers,
certain music. Like, for example, I listen to deep house vocal, non-vocal whenever I'm working.
Yeah.
I will not go near that playlist any other time than whenever I need to get in the flow for work.
Yeah.
Versus in the gym, do you want to listen to rap or whatever? And I feel like that's all energy management. And I feel like rituals, routines, I fucking love this as a topic. I feel like that's something that doesn't operate. Like, if you want to operate and have the best life possible, you have to actually operate your body. Your body is the best thing you get. So like, if you're not priming yourself with stuff like this, you're really shooting yourself in the foot. It's like, I do believe that, like, I have that decaf Starbucks there, and then I'll inject my fucking caffeine into me in probably about 2-3 hours after I fucking wake up, and then that fuels me for the day. Whereas if you're waking up playing caffeine and then you're not feeling good around 12, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Whereas I feel like you need to operate like the best you possibly can. I always say it, like in the mentorships, I'm like, if you want to run a 6-figure coaching business, if you want to make £1 million a year, you need to act like it. If you want to have the best life possible, you need to take responsibility and act like it. Like, you need to go, right, well, I'm going to optimize my sleep so I can bring the best energy to my kids, to my wife, have a better sex life. I'm actually going to read a book on that. Joe, whereas people expect things to go well from no management. Whereas when you manage your energy, you'll notice, like, you get better sleep, you get better sex, you get better training sessions, you get better food, you make better decisions, and everything flows around because better. You're looking after yourself.
Yeah.
Most people are just draining their battery constantly, and then on a Sunday they're hanging, they get a Chinese, and I think that's replenishment. It's not like if you're drinking the weekend, like, that's not all replenishment, that's all draining, that's all ED. You're just burning the fucking 9-to-5 or whatever job you're in, stressful, kids, girlfriend, whatever, that's all. Whereas if you are not filling up your cup, you're really struggling. Most people go, filling up your cup, or they don't take it in what that actually means.
Yeah, it's
I was like that.
Yeah, I think every single person who's listening to this podcast has went through that phase. And I think
you still do. You bounce in out, don't you?
It's about finding your own routine too. That's like, there's all these $1 million routines and all these different routines, but it's finding what works for you and what fills your cup and what fills your energy cells. You know, what gives you the best. Like, everybody's went through that. Say they go out on a Friday or they went to a wedding. Takes you 2 or 3 days to recover, and then you're back to work. But you're not fully recovered, and your first day in work, you're like shite. And then gradually you recover, and then you do it all again. And that's, you know, I do that a lot myself, but I've kind of found a way that it make it work for me, that it sort of doesn't impede everyday life, never has. But is it the smartest way? Nah. Is my routine the best? Probably not. Can't really be. My routine has to be very dynamic. Like, for instance, I got home yesterday for the first time since so today is Friday, I got home on Thursday. I hadn't been home in a week, so my routine's a wee bit fucked. There's 5 gigs in between that there. Earliest I got home from any of those gigs was like 4:30 in the morning, so sleep was a commodity that I wasn't getting too much of. But I find a way that I make it work. I find a way that it works for me, but you have to be a wee bit selfish on it, where you have to go for naps. And you have to... The only thing I didn't do this one was my eating was pretty poor, which didn't help matters. If I would have ate a lot cleaner, it would have been a lot better, but, you know, we learn, we move. But the routines that people don't think put in enough effort or give it as much... know, they don't hold it as high regard as they think about all the stuff about the gym and doing this and doing that and how to be healthy, how to eat healthy, but they never actually look at their actual routine and what they do, and as you said, things that drain them, but they continue to do them because we have this grind. We have this grind mentality. We have to, you know, you grind, earn money, grind. But grinding, if you think about it, is like breaking something down, and the thing that's been broken down is you. You're grinding yourself into the fucking. Everybody that's anyway successful knows what a burnout feels like. And you're like, there's certain things, if it's a short period of time, like when you were doing the app, you had a window, you put in so much effort and you feel the burn, you feel the burden from it, but it's a short window. But sometimes people are doing this for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years because they're on their career drive. And no, relationships are going to suffer if you're even in one at that stage because, you know, work might come first. You might have pushed away people that, you know, meant something. You might have had children, so, you know, you may have stopped that there because career comes first. But if you think about all these things, you know, when it comes, when it's all said and done down the line, when people say, oh, what makes you happiest, you're probably not going to go my career, you're probably going to go my family, my friends, my loved one, my girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whatever. But if you think about it, for 6 or 7 years you didn't even look at an asset because you were like, oh, it's my just career, which, if that's what you're into, yeah, go and do it and to have all the success in the world at doing it. But when it comes down to, you know, when we talk about regret and running out of time, after them 6, 7 years are over, and then you go, fuck, where's all the people that were close to me? And then that's when it all sinks in. So I would say now, if you can find a routine that works for you now and you can get the maximum out, I would definitely go into it. Like I noticed over the years from when we first met, like your complete outlook has completely changed.
Like, in a more positive light.
No, look, I mean, you're like when we first met, you were just grind to the bone because you had your goal. You had your goal set. You had what you needed to do and what you wanted to do. But like, I noticed, like, you, like, even when we first met, what year was that? 2018, was it?
Yeah, it would be. It'd be about fucking 5 years.
2017, 2018, I think it was. Like, you wouldn't have seen you out the door, like.
Oh no!
Like you wouldn't have been out in coffee shops that much. You wouldn't have been out in restaurants that much. You weren't traveling as much, but then you were just juggling two pretty serious careers. But you now have a far better outlook where you're like, as you says, you know, positive. Your positive energies. You're always a very positive person, but you know to keep, you know, your circles small. Let the good people in that can feed you more energy. And discard the people that take it away, pretty much. And I know we talked about this loads about your circle, like, but I don't think it is even sunk into, like, most people about how really important it is to surround yourself with positive people. Like, I just don't think people put any importance, as much importance in that as they should, you know.
No, absolutely. You're preaching to the choir here. I think it's one of the things that people don't realize enough how much what you're surrounded by, how it influences you, how you feel. It's as I said, the energy from a person beside you, or even what you're doing, affects everything. Like, I don't stand for it now. I'm like, no, I can't handle you. I'm away here. This is just not going to work for me. And it's one of the things, it's not being rude, but it's like, if you don't manage yourself, you're not fucking dragging me down. And it's very, very easy to get caught in that sort of mind frame where it can really fucking bust you.
Yeah.
Versus, like, we have just such a good, it takes time though. And as you said, you evolve as a person, you know, you're changing for the better or for the worse. If you're not realizing it, probably for the worst in certain areas. And there's time periods where you're going to have to lean in. You're going to have to do a hard push to really move the needle in the direction that you want to get you where you want to go in life. If you're going to lean in on that side. But there's also a fine line that you have to fucking have a bit of a back and forth with. And
you have to be aware. You have to be aware of your surroundings when you're doing it. Instead of, like, me and you probably did this before in the past, where we done the blinkered approach, block out everything else. There's the finish line. Go straight for it. Whereas if I was to do it again, I would be looking, trying to be more aware, be more self-aware of like, what's going on. Where am I pushing people to? Who is missing? What do I need to add to make this better? Rather than go. I'm moving.
Exactly.
And I'm happy I'm moving. Rather than if I add this very positive person into my life, I bet you I could do this a lot better. But, you know, you don't see that when you're blinkered because you've tunnel vision. And I think there probably is people listening to this podcast now that's probably going, geez, I'm doing that at the minute.
It's very, very easy.
Very easy. But then it's like, if you listen to some of these like business people, and they all, like every one of them either does it or did do it. So it's not that it's a wrong thing to do. It's just, you know, time's not guaranteed anywhere. I know it's a bit morbid talking about it all the time, but fucking time is not guaranteed. Like, last Saturday, we had a massive gig in Omaha, and we closed the street, rammed the people, sold it out, and me and the boys were chatting after, all the boys had played at it. We were just like, let that sink in, like we just did this. No, remember what happened tonight is going to live on in people's heads here. It's not just like going into a nightclub and playing a set or going on to a stage and playing a set. We closed the street. We sold it out against all the odds. Only a local people had to be from Tyrone to do it. And we did it. And I was like, let that sink in and let that be the fuel to keep all of us going. Because, you know, sometimes, especially in the music game, it's tough. It's tough out run now. And you can have loads of success. We talked about it over lockdown. Like, I would never have celebrated any success ever. But during lockdown, someone wanted me to, I don't know what it was, maybe it's Cool FM or something, who says, can you write a little blog, places, you know, a bit of a thing, places you've played, what you've done. And when I started to write it out, I was literally writing stuff that was huge things in my life, and I had forgot I had done. Like, I literally forgot I'd done. Had to go back a few times and change it, because, well, geez, I did this as well. I did this. I played Minister's Sound that night. Played the Thames on New Year's Eve in front of
Ben. You have to be grateful for the opportunities you've had and what you've accomplished. Yeah. But that's why, like, for example, we always do like our live events and stuff. We always review what is like the most, like what's a big win from the last 6 months. And a lot of times people don't even take it into what was the big fucking wins for themselves.
Yeah. And a lot of people do it on weekly basis as well, like weekly wins and monthly wins to keep it fresh in the mind. And it is like, I don't know if it's like a thing, and if it's like an Irish thing or a British thing, that we kind of don't like to give ourselves plaudits, because it seems like we're boasting or we're being arrogant, even when it's a true fact. But it's like, I don't know if it's a thing where, you know, you see it a lot with GA players and all. It's just like, you know, just a head down, like, well, how's it going, you know? And you're like, geez, man, you just won an All-Ireland, or you just won this, or you just won that, or you just did this for the club, or you just became a world champion boxer. And they're like, aye, cheers, yeah. You know, it seems like in America, as we said earlier, their energy is like, you know, yeah, like, look what I just did. And it's not boasting, like, oh, well, there's a fine line, but you do have to celebrate, I think, when you do stuff good. And also,
if you don't celebrate we went over that. Like,
that gives you energy too. Something. That does give you energy if you actually, like, let it sink in and, like, use it as a fuel to go, fuck. And then you look at it. What can I do better the next time? How can I do better? That was awesome. How can I get this feeling back? And then you know, would have been better if I had more friends there. Would have been better if I would have did this. You know, and then that drives you on. It gives you ideas. It makes you look far more creative. But I think maybe as a nation, we don't look at that.
That all links into the energy management and then framing your expectations. It's just one of them things.
I'm going to read up about this energy management. Something I've never looked into. Have you got any good books or anything?
No, it's more so you just need to pre-plan your week and then, like, list out, like, for example, like, for me, right, when I woke up this morning, I woke up at 6, I'd done an hour of easy work, so nothing too stressful. I knew I was going to go on this podcast, so I was like, right, that's going to be quite taxing. I know I'm going to do bits of work after this, so I was like, right, well, before the day starts there, I'll take a wee 15 minutes, go get myself a cup of coffee, take a walk, do some light work, so that's a wee bit of replenishment. Then after this, I'll do all my work. And before I go into the gym for another ED task, I'll take half an hour, get my lunch, relax, maybe get a 10 a month and then go and then come back. And then it allows you to keep working on things throughout the day, or it allows you to keep replenishing. So for example, like we went to we're talking about doing Universal Studios tomorrow. So like, I'm not going to drill myself tonight and then be wrecked for tomorrow, Joe. Depends what energy you want to bring, but it's one of the things where there's not really books on it, but you just want to list out what you're doing on a day-to-day basis and go, is this ED or ER, energy replenishment or energy draining? And like, some people will go for a 3-mile run and go, well, that's energy replenishment. If you're not pushing hard and it's a wee light jog, absolutely. My weight sessions aren't like that, to drain the fuck out of me. So expecting to go from a hard weight session straight into filming content, straight into to whatever else, it's balancing yourself. So for example, like if you work 9 to 5 and you come back, your energy replenishment might be sitting in the car saying a couple of keywords to yourself and getting a cup of coffee before you go into your family, so you can bring them the best energy possible, treating it like a new task rather than like you going into your family is just like part of your day. You're treating it like an actual, you have to show up. The problem is you're not showing up for each individual thing you're doing.
Yeah.
You're just treating it like blasé and you're rolling from one thing into the next, expecting it to work, and then getting frustrated whenever, you know, your relationship's not going as well because you didn't show up for it. That was the reason mine went shite, because I was prioritizing other things. I was managing my energy. Don't get me wrong, it takes 2 to tango, but it's one of the things where then you're showing up and you're not putting it fully in. And whenever effort's not put in any area, whether it's with your mum, your girlfriend, whatever it is, you're not showing up as yourself. You're not showing up who you really can be. And then they're getting this partial of you. Whereas like, for example, you probably don't even love your work as much as you ever have, but yet you're showing up to work more than you are for them or for your friends or for your family. Like, you're not even fucking Joe. It's small things that I feel like are the key. And if you've not really looked into it, it's just building out energy replenishment. So like, for example, as I said, Joe, mine will be coffee, going to a coffee shop, taking half an hour in the sun. Some people will be reading a book, eating a specific food, or you have ones that take 5 to 10 minutes, have ones that take an hour.
Yeah.
Some people will be going to the cinema for 4 hours on a Friday night. You'll go to the cinema, watch a movie, replenish fully, and then that's them ready for the week because they're buzzing. But like, or maybe it is going for a pint or two and not getting rode off, Joe. That's your replenishment. You just build out what matters. Whereas if you're just doing ED constantly, you'll notice you don't bring the same energy. Do you ever notice that? Like, you show up and you're there, but you're not really.
I was just about to say, you're there, but you're not there.
You're scattered. You're on your phone. Yep. Your head's not fully in it.
I when you were talking there, all I thought about was years ago being, I was present, but I was there, but I wasn't present.
Yeah.
So I was there, but I was looking at my phone. The last girl I was going out with, I always kept my phone away on the kitchen table because if it was close and it lit up, I'd want to grab it. It's just instinct. So I kept it away as far as I could. Far as I could away, because I wanted to be present, 100% present, only on her, nothing else, only on her. For the length of time we had, because, you know, distances was a hard thing. So if I was there for 2 hours, she was getting me fully for 2 hours. But I remember with years previous to that, fuck, good luck getting me 20 minutes of my attention, because just different stuff. Like, I was sat down straight away, TV on, whatever I could to distract, whatever. No, I don't even know. I couldn't even quantify what I was at now if I try to look at it. But all I know is I was not present in the moment. Whereas, and it's scary. It's a scary thing when you're, when you don't remember, any memories, because you're not, your head's, you're sitting in Newry, but your head's in fucking Marbella thinking about something or doing something, or your head's thinking about spreadsheets, or your head's thinking about work. And that is, that would be an energy drainer, but you don't realize that because you think, oh, fuck, I'm just chilled here with the missus. But no, you're not, because your head's fucking still at work. But as we said, it's easier said than done. Like, it's fucking here. If you could do even half of what it is, I'm definitely going to look into that myself, because I do find sometimes I find it really hard to switch off.
Fucking tough work.
But that's because the more good things I do, the more good gigs, the more my head starts going and start getting ideas for better gigs, but that excites me. And I try to turn it off, and it keeps going. And
it's hard whenever you're like that, because it can drive you forward.
I think that's why a lot of creatives are a wee bit fucking mental. You know, like artists. You ever meet an artist? I'm not slating artists here. they're fucking weird, like. They're a bit weird. Like, good artists are a bit weird. Like, the real creative ones are a wee, but there's no real creative one you go, oh, he's actually just a normal person. You're like, nah, they're a wee bit mental. Because I'm sure the ideas in their head is just like, poof, 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 just all the time.
I'll be fucking lighting up. I'll be
mental. Like, if you were like a songwriter, or you think about all like the famous singers or whatever, they're all a wee bit, there's a wee bit of crazy in them. But I would say that comes down to half of it, because their head just never ends. It just never stops. And the ones that are, you know, the ones that can control that are probably the game changers. There's probably a reason some of them Hollywood actors are mental, because they're just heads just never stop. And, you know, that's what they're in. They're in that creative realm, or they probably, some of them probably don't want to switch off.
Yeah, I think that's probably a bit of it too, to be honest.
That is. So what is the plans now, Tony, for today? Universal tomorrow? Fucking
living. Don't know. We're not fully decided on what
Universal. The fuck we're doing. You'll put in some steps there, boy.
No, but I'm not a big fan of roller coasters and all. I can't be arsed for the queue and all for the buzz.
Height check and all.
You're not allowed in this ride again. Fuck's sake, mate.
You're not allowed in Witch Mountain. whatever.
Fuck that. I've done Disneyland. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy the rides and all, but like, I don't enjoy the lining up and spending your whole holiday waiting.
Three-hour queues is just not. And the VIP thing is just too expensive now. To jump
in
the
water
queue.
Parks and stuff, I don't mind like paying. Like in Dubai, I think it was like an extra £50. Yeah, I was like, fucking rights, because you just end up wasting your whole day queuing. But no, so here till today is going to be Monday. When you're listening to this, I'll be going to Hawaii. I've got a business meeting in Hawaii for 3 days, and then I've got 2 weeks there after that to enjoy it. And because the business, it's like business meeting and courses and all that shit.
Very good.
And then I've got 2 weeks to enjoy it, and then I'm off to Mexico.
Where are you going, to Honolulu or Waikiki?
We're going to Honolulu, yeah.
Very good. And then Mexico, yeah, so where are you going, to Tulum?
That's what we're just went up now. We're weighing up Cancun or Tulum, but I think we're going to go to Tulum.
Cancun's fucking played out. You want Tulum? Tulum. If you love Marbella, you love Tulum.
Yeah, I think it would be more my vibe. Yeah. So I think that's where we're going to go. We're going to do at least 2 weeks there. Stephen definitely wants to do Miami. He's a Dolphins fan, you see, so he's quite keen going there. So I'm just taking it day by day. Originally, I had planned on going back to Spain at some stage, but I've actually enjoyed the States far more than I thought already. So I'm just know that I'm enjoying it. So I'm just taking it day by day, moment by moment. And all that we have planned now is to go from here to Hawaii to the 3rd of August.
Yeah,
and then from the 3rd to the 20th, at least 2 weeks in Mexico. But we'll be in Mexico a full month, August to September, and then review the NFL season picks up. So I'd say that's when maybe Stephen will want to bounce out.
Yeah, NFL season starts end of August. Yep, preseason will start mid August, start of August, sorry.
Yeah, and right in that.
Yeah, epic. That's class. Wasn't going to say. I see any famous people yet?
Just Tom thing. That's it.
Tom. But that was Tom Segura.
Well, he's fucking mega famous.
Oh no, I thought maybe because when you're walking about, sometimes you can spot them a wee bit if you're in certain parts of LA. That's class.
I don't know as many as I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I'm real bad for recognizing people.
Found it mad that people are writing underneath my posts on Instagram, being like, saw you at Venice Beach, was nervous, didn't want to come over and annoy you. And I'm like, that's mental. That is nuts, isn't it? Saw you in Goals, didn't want to annoy you and working out. I was like, bro, come over, that'll make my life.
What did you think of Goals, Jim?
It's run down as fuck, isn't but it? It is good. Like,
how much did they charge you for the day pass?
Paid for a week's membership was $150.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's gonna be like that. It's gold.
Is there still things in the car park, camper vans and all?
Yeah. There's bits and pieces of that, but the main thing that I really enjoyed was I really enjoyed the atmosphere to train. But you know what it needs? It just needs a little bit more money pumped in the outside. The outside part is a wee bit like they've redone up. See all the old equipment that Arnold was using. Like they've re-levered that. It's fresh. It's all good.
Yeah.
But the outside part is very, don't get me wrong, it's rustic. It's car park. I like that. But like, invest in like a good speaker system now. There's no music out there, but maybe that's the way they want it. You know, like that's the way it was in the old school days. There wasn't fucking new tunes blasting. But
is your boy Mike Fintry in there? Mike?
Who?
Mike? They call him Tran. Mike Tran. What the fuck's his
name? I don't know. I know Arnold was there one of the mornings we were as well. Like he was floating around. But apparently the golden rule is like you don't talk to him in the gym. You just let him do his thing.
I think that's Gold's gym in general.
Well, I think that's fair enough. I think that's awesome that he can just be training there.
Would you go to Bradley Martin's gym when you're there?
Where is it?
It's in LA somewhere. He moved to Zoo or something. Zoo Culture, aye. He opened a second one closer in the city.
Yeah, I must check where it is. It, probably not, no, to be honest. Like, I don't really
That'll be a class gym to go to, but...
It's right in the fucking middle, though, of... I've just Googled it.
Downtown,
here.
Is it?
It is. Oh, do you know what? It's not. Yeah, no, it's fucking way up past it. Fuck, it'd be ages away. Jesus Christ. Almost outside it.
There's two. There's one up in the hills. Then there's one.
I near Venice Beach, mate. It's fucking sick. The vibe's just excellent. But look, I don't want to melt people. Look, if anybody's got any recommendations, you just let me know. But
rating review, and we're 185 ratings now.
Fuck, that's quality.
And another 60 on. 60 or 70 on Apple, which is very good. Thank you.
If anyone's considering traveling, by the way, like, and you're weighing up moving to Australia, you're weighing up whatever you're doing, just honestly do it. The worst thing that happens is you just move home. I'm very pleased that I've started to move away the last 2 months in Spain, last couple weeks here. Like, definitely highly recommend. I'm not saying that you have to, but even just more holidays, more trips, it just changes your environment, changes your focus, and I guarantee you'll not regret it.
Bingo. Right, guys, keep rating, reviewing, sharing. We'll chat these next week.
Goodbye.